everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 187. Yes, this is Caffeination 187. I am Paul. I'm going to be your host. Hopefully, you're going to enjoy today's show. I think it's going to be fantastic. This is called Caffeination 187 Overtime because I spent a long time in work today. It was a lot of craziness. I got a lot of great stuff done, but I didn't get home from work until 10 o'clock at night. So usually, you know, I might have a little idea what I was going to do for the episode. I had not the foggiest, so I pulled some stuff together out of a couple old archives. I had actually written some articles on earlier in this week, so hopefully you'll find them interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about absolutely everything on today's show. Talk a little bit about some recipes, articles in general, skulls, circuit boards, and dinosaurs. You know, all pretty much in the same category. If you are listening to this over at the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, or if you've just been gifted this MP3 by some kind-hearted soul, then you can find this podcast, the Caffeination Podcast, lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can email us at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can give us a little ring over at 215-240-1319 and leave a direct-to-voicemail message. Anything else you'd like to find a way to get a hold of us, you can head on over to caffeination.com and check out that stuff. We would like to tell you, however, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. All the shows over there have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational shows. So they like to say tech podcasts, if it's tech, it's here. So pretty much anything you can imagine in the realm of technology, it runs the gamut over there at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's Blueberry without the E's. So it's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. You can head on over there, check out our show and a whole bunch of other member shows. I already gave you the rundown for today's show. Might want to talk a little bit about the sponsor. This show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. So if you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your calls, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a per minute fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to leave your office. You not only end up saving a serious amount of time, but a serious amount of money as well. See for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/POD. CAST. Try GoToMeeting today. All right, we would also like to let you know a couple little notes here starting at the beginning of the show. First off, happy Hanukkah to anybody celebrating the Festival of Lights currently. I think we're recording this on the second day of the festival. You still got a couple days left, so it should be good, and it's going to inspire a little bit of the return of PodSafe music. Just a couple seconds here, but let's see. Man, we are running fast and furious right now. I got a whole bunch of great stuff to talk about today. For instance, I did want to tell you that the 8th of December 2007, you will see me as well as a couple other members of the Tech Podcast Network live over at techpodcast.com doing a Tech Podcast Roundtable. I'm going to be talking a little bit about my wish list for Christmas. Now, if any of you would like to buy me any of the things I talk about, that's fantastic. I'm really happy to hear that, and all the contact information's on my page, but I really doubt that that's going to happen. I just wanted to kind of put it out there, some of the coolest and most interesting technology stuff that I've seen this holiday season. So five or six little items from everybody on the list. So it should be a fun time. I think there's going to be about four or five different presenters. And, you know, it could go any way. So it's going to be fun to tune in. So you can head on over there, check it out live, or you can download it after the fact. Just remember, head on over to techpodcasts.com and you'll be able to see that. All right, well, next up here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have a great artist called Rockasaurus Rex and their song, I Have a Little Dreidel. Now, it's Hanukkah, they're dinosaurs, what more could you want? So here we go with Rockasaurus Rex and I Have a Little Dreidel.
Yeah.
Tyrannosaurus Rex with their song, I Have a Little Dreidel. I gotta tell you, I was looking really long and hard for a good Hanukkah song over at the PodSafe Music Network, and there were a couple of them. They were all right, had the word dreidel in the title and everything, but that just spoke to me on a whole different level. That was awesome in a can. I really don't know what to say else about that other than, it's really good to find some good Hanukkah music. And at the same point in time, when I was heading through their stuff, which, by the way, Rockosaurus Rex is found over at rockosaurusrex.com, imagine that, they have a huge catalog of absolutely awesome hardcore metal kids music. And I was telling my wife, we are going to be getting this for Paul, and you have no choice in that. And she didn't really know what to make of that, so I was like, it's tough. I was just looking at some of their stuff. It's like 20 songs on there, so it's like 21 songs on there, and if you get it from iTunes, it's only $9.99, so I mean, that's just awesome. Just wanted to give you a little bit of a hint about what else they have. They also have John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, so I mean, it's just, like, seriously, all little kid songs to, like, hardcore music. I mean, that's just awesome. Oh, wait, one sec. Of course, I picked the wrong one. There we go. See, and I know my son is going to like that, because at one point in time when he was really young, my brother-in-law had this, like, crazy this crazy, like, metal band that was on, like, Comcast On Demand, and whenever he'd put the video on, I can't remember me for the life of what the actual song was, and I'm going to have to actually get the song, because Paul would come from the other room to sit there and clap and listen to this song, and it was, like, hardcore. I mean, this was, like, death metal style stuff. It was like speed metal with really, really quick guitars and heavy, heavy, nasty riffs. And I was like, come on, but this is kids' music to a nasty metal riff, and it's awesome. So, like I was saying, that's definitely going to be in Paul's stocking this Christmas. A little thumb drive maybe or something that has it on there, and then I'll just put it on the CD player for him. So, I mean, hey, he's only what? He's going to be like 15 months by the time Christmas comes around. He should be rocking out by now. So, all right, that is your musical intervention for this evening, or this day, or whenever actually you decide to listen to it. It actually freaks me out sometimes thinking, I could record this at 11:38 now on Wednesday, the 5th December here, 2007, and you could listen to it at any point in time from this point forward. As soon as I upload it, it is in the wild, and that's really cool. It's really kind of wild to think, somebody actually downloaded my first episode the other day, and it was like crazy to imagine that somebody's still listening to that, and it's just great. So, all right, well, thank you everybody out there who keeps us doing what we do, you know what I mean? Thanks to all of our new and returning listeners who keep us going and keep the fires burning at home, All right, we have a whole little section of tech for you today, so we're just going to get right on in there. Everybody's always telling you what you shouldn't buy for Christmas. Don't buy these, the top 10 toys that are going to hurt your kids. There's recalls left and right. But the one thing that I haven't seen recalled is a video game yet. And so Wired put together Gamer Life Top 10 games that are recommended for your kids. Now, here's one thing I would like to recommend to people, just in general. Play games with your kids. We are now in the age where kids are being influenced by video games almost as much or more so than TV. Now, I am not in favor of censoring the games or anything like that. I think a lot of people who blame the trouble on video games are just asking for trouble themselves, because they're really taking the parenting out of their own hands and they're giving it to a video game. If you give your kid a good solid foundation, you should fear no media. You know what I mean? Podcasting, whatever else it is. You should not be afraid to let your kid alone with anything else, because you've taught them how to be a good person. So, don't blame video games because your kid's a nut. And here's, 10 video games that are going to help further the education and the parental bonding experience. First up, they list Rock Band. I don't know if I agree with this one. They said basically the whole family can play, and that's pretty awesome. And they are right, but Same point in time. This one's available for the 360, PS3, and PS2. Same point in time. This thing's like $180. So you know what? We're going to knock that one down. Number two, Super Mario Galaxy. It's a two-player mode, so it's all only on the Nintendo Wii. Number three is Portal. It's in the orange box set. It's M-rated, but the Portal game is not mostly non-violent, funny and puzzling. Then there's Zelda the Phantom Hourglass, that's on the Nintendo DS. Elite Beat Agents, also on the Nintendo DS. Dance Dance Revolution Hottest Party, that's on the Wii. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations, Nintendo DS. Zack and Wiki Quest for Barbaro's Treasure, that's on the Wii. My Spanish Coach is on Nintendo DS, and Guitar Hero 3, Wii 360, PS2, and PS3. The only thing I can think of is that they're getting paid off by Nintendo. Either that or Nintendo just focuses so much more on the family gaming that they, you know, it doesn't really transcend. But one thing I would like to add to that list, if you do happen to have an Xbox 360, you really need to grab the Xbox Live Arcade game Bomberman. It is fantastic. And you know what? It's non-violent, unless you the little cartoon guys rocking around blowing people up is your idea of a hard little time. But it's really addictive, really simple to learn, and I don't know, I've been able to introduce a lot of different people to it, and people you wouldn't normally pick out as gamers, and they seem to have a pretty good time with it. So just if you have a 360 and there weren't enough of those games on there, that thing's only like $10. I mean, it's more than worth it. It's in the Xbox Live Arcade thing. All right, now the next little thing we have up here, I just kind of had to pass along because I had a personal experience with something very similar to this. They have something called the quote-unquote badass biker helmet, the skull. Basically, they took a face shield and they modeled the entire helmet after a skull. It's a pretty cool idea. However, I saw a slight derivation on this the other day. This one's actually from TrendHunter.com. I saw somebody who had a white helmet, and the face shield was all, you know, smoked glass black, and it was pretty cool. So it was like a normal-looking motorcycle helmet. The only thing is, onto the helmet, they had airbrushed a very realistic-looking skull's face. And on the back of the helmet, they had flames. So it looked like Ghost Rider riding around, and it was awesome. Now, this isn't exactly what it is, but this is much more of a molded face shield, so I think it's pretty cool nonetheless. So I just thought I would find it fun, pass it along to everybody out there. This is, like I said, this is kind of a crazy episode. There's a whole bunch of different things I was looking at that I wanted to just pass out there to you. They said this will seriously scare the poo out of some minivan driving suburban dads, ride on biker dude. It didn't really scare me. I don't really drive a minivan, but at the same point in time, it was just one of those things like, man, that is awesome. I mean, that was really, really an entertaining little helmet that I saw riding around the other day, and I would definitely think this one's even cooler because it's all black, so just thought I'd pass it along out there. All right, now here's Everything Old is New Again. This is an article from Crave that basically said for $300, you too can buy a 1950-style vacuum tube radio that, you know, has an input and output. This is a solid wood thing. It's 12 inches wide, 8.5 inches high, and 7.5 inches deep. It weighs 15 pounds. So basically, it has also a couple other little features. It looks like a giant toaster, if you really think about it. It's also magnetically shielded so that it eliminates monitor and TV and screen interference. There's no iPod dock or anything like that included. But the funny thing is, if you look at this, I'm going to post it as soon as I can find the freaking picture. But I have a real 1960s or 1950s era vacuum tube radio that still works, has only AM. It's sitting in my office and work right now. I think I took a picture of it, and I just have to check to make sure that it's actually on my computer before I just say that it's there. If I didn't, it'll be posted online and, you know, probably tomorrow or the next day. But it gives you fantastic sound, except mine's very much so retro because, you know, it's still using the same tubes, knock on wood. It was found in my great-grandfather's house when we were cleaning it out. So I just had, you know, I guess kind of a soft spot for this. However, $300 is a massive amount to pay. Now, I guess these kind of people are audiophiles, so they also have listed the Hi-Fi Stereo Classic Radio, which is $849 for a radio that looks like it's old and used. This this is worse than the Hollister jeans that come pre-ripped. So moving right along, there's a fun little article over at this nifty little website. Don't know if you've ever heard of it, called caffeination.com. That'd be www.caffeination.com. It's this fun little website all about coffee and caffeine and technology news. It's a fun little amalgam of the different things. Well, the guy over there by the name of Paul, that would be me, actually, I wrote an article this week talking about, I wrote an article this week because I had a couple people online asking me, you know, like, what do you do with your old technology? What do you do with the things that you should be throwing out in work or at home or anything? Well, the first answer is I don't throw very much out. I kind of have a tendency to keep onto it because you never know when something else old might break. That gets me into some trouble with the wife, but most of it's hidden downstairs right now. And in work, I have extra closets for that kind of stuff. But one of the things that I have been saying, and I had a couple people in work actually mention this, is I end up using lots of the bits of technology for different things. So, I just have something simple. So I put together a little amalgam, a little picture messaging, or a little... a little article, a little different storyline through all the different things that I've put together in my office. First of all, you have the very ubiquitous, for at least a geek cruft kind of sense of things, the very ubiquitous RAMstick keychain. Up next, I actually have a PowerPC upgrade chip from an older, I think it was a Mac G3. There were two fun little upright pins. It's a perfect business card holder. I have an office with a fantastic view. Unfortunately, the giant windows also mean a lot of screen glare. So we had a Mac G3 Wall Street Edition PowerBook that had the screen cracked, so I used the dimmer on the screen to kind of shield one of my monitors from the glare that happens off some of the buildings in the in Center City. So I can still type and work on my servers and everything and have plenty of sunlight pouring into the office. Now, the next thing that we have up there, I get fantastic reviews about all the time. I actually use the rest of the screen that I took the dimmer off of. The actual liquid crystal display, removed both lamps, one on the side and one on the bottom, and taped off the edges so that nothing was really jagged, and put a big metal clip on it. And I actually have PowerBook clipboard, and it's pretty cool. I have a little Microsoft or Xbox sticker on the back, an Atari sticker, a whole bunch of other stuff. You can head on over there, check it out. I took apart my phone at one point in time in work, and then the last little thing, I guess the final stop, as I said, on the tour de force here, is my office caddy. There's a couple other things that I've... half of these have been built at home. The other half have been built in work when I was working on really hard projects. I would have a tendency to fidget, and I like to try and create something that's worthwhile while I fidget. So at home, I have a whole bunch of little Ethernet cable bugs that are going to eventually end up over at the Traveler's Mug, so I'll let you know when that article gets posted over there. But for the office caddy, what I did was I glued four disks together, a little stick of RAM, and then plopped them all down on top of a CD case. The funny thing is the CD case still opens, and it's much bigger than a mug, so I can hold all of my pens and pencils and everything that I need for my desk, including my stylus for my Wacom tablet and everything. So it's a fun little use of the technology that we have around there. And you can also still open the little disc doors on the 3.5-inch floppies that are there. So it's just one of the many uses that I've found for technology. Now there's other stuff that I have... in the office that I've disassembled at one point in time or another, reusing technology. So I'd like to see how anybody else out there reuses technology. Is anybody else making things with them? Do you have a circuit board, business card holder, clipboard, whatever you have out there? Please, we feel free to share. We'd like to see some of the other stuff that people have. All right, that's about the most for the tech. We have some really cool science stuff right now I just couldn't pass up. A lot of archaeology and paleontology stuff, which is why Rockosaurus Rex just really fit into this episode fantastically. All right, now the first up's from an edition of Wired that just came out. I was reading this and was hoping they would put it online. The Secret of Ireland's Ancient Breweries. So basically, there's these features that exist in the Irish landscape. What they are is they're giant mounds that have little charcoal stumps laying around them, and nobody's really been able to figure out what they are. So, a group of archaeologists got together and tried to, you know, basically differentiate what they think these things were, and they were doing different tests, and they were dating them. So they date from anywhere from 1500 to 500 BC. And one of the last things that they actually, you know, one of the last ideas that they postulated was that it could actually be a ancient brewery, like just a small term brewery that to make ales and meads. And you know, they go through the whole explanation there, and it's pretty cool, and it actually makes some sense as to that. That would be an interesting use for these little features that are found all over the landscape in Ireland and I think Scotland as well. So I just thought I'd pass that story along to you, because you know, hey, it's some archaeology, something near and dear to my heart, and I'm as much of a fan of booze as the next guy. So I just thought I'd pass it along to you. Also, another new discovery. You gotta love when people find new species, especially prehistoric ones, because it blows your mind when you think about the scope of things that have been before us. Like it's just insane the amount of stuff that is uncovered every day. Every tiny little discovery is a miracle in and of itself. So there's new discoveries that are leading to creating a new species of plesiosaur. Now these are like, I forget, it's like 50 million years old or something like that. These things are around 150 million year old remains. This is a short-necked plesiosaur, somewhere around as long as a bus, with teeth as large as cucumbers. Now you can head out there and actually check the you can head over and actually check the article. Again, this is at Wired, and then we have one more from them. But it's just unbelievable, man. If you imagine, like, next time, like, a public transportation bus passes you on the street, imagine if that was a creature that was a meat eater. Imagine if it had teeth the size of a cucumber, you know? I mean, imagine how ferocious, how mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting that thing would end up being. And just, you know, thank God that they're gone. All right, next little thing we have up here is something I cannot wrap my head around. I never thought I would actually hear this. I used to, you know, dream about the time when somebody would find like a live dinosaur or a whole dinosaur frozen in ice or something like that, something crazy. But the idea of a mummified dinosaur, even partially mummified dinosaur, where you could see the skin, you could see three-dimensional pieces of it, it never entered into my wildest dreams. Imagine my surprise when North Dakota, where most of the paleontological discoveries come in the United States, a bunch of researchers from the University of Manchester marked a site because they found some interesting little tailbones. They went back and later started to uncover a completely fossilized / mummified hadrosaur, duck-billed dinosaur. Now, they can see three-dimensionally where the arms were, how wide its backside was, muscle tone. Unfortunately, the pictures that they have on those site don't do it justice, but they're breaking out, you know, and breaking new ground in what these dinosaurs actually looked like, what they actually, you know, worked, how they worked physically, you know, just as a physical specimen. So it's insane. So you know, I just love new discoveries like this, and I like to pass them along to people. So hopefully everybody else out there finds this stuff as even half as interesting as I do, because I could seriously talk about dinosaurs all day. Don't know if I can still pronounce them all, but hey, I'd talk about them, you know what I mean? All right, that about wraps up the tech and science a little bit here. Now, if you're wondering, I seem to be losing my voice here, probably because for around 6 hours this afternoon, I was actually in a jury, like, which is basically like a review, a critique of some of the students, and there was a lot of talking going on, particularly toward the back half of it. Saw some good work, saw some other stuff, so, I mean, it's just so, I guess it's really invigorating to be in on that part of the proceedings. You know, we don't have any determination on the kids' grades as a juror, as a critic, but you know, the act of trying to help them to the next plane, help take their work to that next level, is always really invigorating. I really enjoy when I get invited with that kind of stuff, so it's kind of fun. All right, well, we have two little bits of caffeine and food-related news, then we'll head you on your way. Like I said, it's a short show tonight. First of all, I don't think my voice can hold out. Second of all, I literally just got home from work at like 10 o'clock at night, so I wanted to get the episode out. Didn't want to disappoint everybody, but hopefully you're enjoying this and you give me a pass on this one. All right, students at the... Oh, wait, one second. Oh, man. All right. The first story we have up here is students advocate fair trade coffee at U. What I assume they're talking about is University of Minnesota. There's a whole bunch of smaller colleges out there that have recently passed amendments, and our students are working towards getting fair trade coffee at least offered on campus by the different vendors, specifically Philadelphia-based Aramark, hopefully support and spread the love back to the coffee farmers, which is something we support heartily here at the Caffeination Podcast. We've talked about it before, and I know I end up boring some people when we're talking about it. But fair trade coffee, the idea behind it is that the price of the coffee that the consumer ends up purchasing is slightly higher in the agreement that by labeling the coffee fair trade, a larger percentage of that purchase goes directly to the farmer, to the community, to a fund that dispenses loans and other things to people in the coffee farming areas to help people up and help educate the people that are down there, help with infrastructure, things like building schools and roads and everything else like that. So it's a really good idea, and it doesn't really cost the end user hardly anything at all. So the students are actually advocating the uses and the availability of fair trade coffee on campus. Now, at the university where I work, we do have a Starbucks, which does every from time to time have fair trade coffees. Starbucks, in my own personal opinion, seems to use the fair trade coffee as more of a crutch, as, yo, look, yeah, we offer fair trade coffee, but it isn't always there. Not all their coffees are fair trade, and it's just kind of, I don't know, it's much more of a publicity stunt, because if they really wanted to support fair trade coffee, all of their coffee would be fair trade, but it's not. So apparently there's two colleges already, McAllister College and the College of St. Catherine, that were successfully campaigning for fair trade coffee. The University of Minnesota would be the first Big Ten school to join the movement. So, hey, more power to those kids, and if that works, I'd like to see it on the campus where I work, and hopefully, that'd be something really cool to see. All right, and the last little thing we have here is actually a very personal story and a little bit of a help for all those people out there. Being a geek, I'm not necessarily the fittest person on the planet, so it got to a point where I was like, you know what, I really need to do something about this. So at one point in time, probably right before September, I decided to go on a little diet, and at this point in time, I'm down somewhere around 30 pounds. And so far, I feel a lot better. It's been good fitting into clothes and all that other 9 yards. But I've been doing it with Weight Watchers, and Weight Watchers has this funny little system called points. So where, different foods are assigned a different value. Coffee with absolutely nothing in it, black coffee, which is how I usually drink it anyway, is 0 points, because I guarantee you if that was worth even 1 point, I would blow my daily allowance of points by an insane amount. So it's nice to have a drink and stuff like that that just doesn't really impact you your diet wise. There's also actually a brand of hot chocolate that's 0 points, which would be the Swiss Miss no sugar added diet hot chocolate. It tastes pretty good. It's still pretty creamy and everything else like that. But I decided to combine my two loves here and create a no point, no fat macchiato. Macchiatos are basically half coffee and half cappuccino, or half coffee and half hot chocolate. There's probably ins and outs of what makes a macchiato, but this is an approximation. This is almost, but not, almost, but not quite exactly unlike a real macchiato. So basically, you take one packet of the Swiss Miss no sugar added diet hot chocolate, and you add it to one. Basically, I mixed in a little instant packet of Taster's Choice. You mix it all together, you put it in nice hot water, and it comes out really good. Is it perfect? Does it taste like a macchiato you get at Starbucks or any other barista? No, it doesn't. Is it a good serviceable option? Yes, it is. Does it taste good? I wouldn't be talking to you about it unless it did. So just remember to stir it often, because the coffee tends to separate from the chocolate, and the chocolate ends up being the sludge at the bottom of the cup. And I've seen this happen in a lot of other beverages as well, especially when I add like spices and stuff to coffee. They just have a tendency to sift downward. So, hey, I figured the more information I can pass along to everybody out there, the better off everybody would end up being. So, all right. We have a... That's about it. That you know, brings us to the end here at the Caffeination Podcast. This has been episode number 187, so hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Albeit a little shorter than usually, the usual fare. Just remember, if you were listening to this episode and you'd like to find it, you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you'd like to send us comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, you can do so at caffeination@gmail.com. You can subscribe to do the podcast and do everything else over at caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's BLUBRRY. It's Blueberry without the E's. And this has been a Puzzle Piece production. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.